Please rise. Merry Christmas and welcome to Zion, and we're happy to see all of you visiting, and thank you for donating your children's time to get prepared for this lovely little event that we'll be doing here later in the service that they've put so much time and effort into. And thank you, Diane, for organizing it and getting it all together. And with that, we can go ahead and continue on with our service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What great love the Father has given to us. He sent his Son to save us from death.
That we should be called children of God.
Jesus was born to take our place.
That we should be called children of God.
His work on the cross gives us new life.
And we are all children of God.
You may be seated for our next hymn.
Thank you.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The basis for our meditation this evening is going to be from Luke chapter 2, specifically verses 8 to 14. And so our text reads, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" This is the word of our Lord. As a family, I remember growing up with a lot of different traditions around Christmas time. One of them was just gathering together with family, which we all pretty much do. We gather with typically both sides of our family. So we go to my mom's side of the family and celebrate with them, and then we go to my dad's side of the family and celebrate with them. So Christmas time was all about coming together and spending time and enjoying that fellowship we got that we could have with our family. I also remember another tradition that my parents had done, especially when I was very young. We used to make candies and Buckeyes, hard candies and things like that, and sometimes sugar cookies, and then we would send them out to people in the community. And specifically, I remember going out and giving them to emergency personnel, like our police officers and firefighters and EMTs. And I remember enjoying that. We'd go out and we'd serve our community. But if I would boil down Christmas to just those things, I think it would leave us feeling a bit lacking, that we just go out and we do these good things for other people or join together with family. I think that would make Christmas not really have its substance yet. So we actually had other traditions. One of them was when we were at my grandparents' house, my grandpa would make us all gather around the Christmas tree and we'd read from that text that I just read from, Luke chapter 2. We'd read the whole entire chapter and get that whole entire birth narrative of our Lord. And then we also would gather around together and do something similar like this. As I grew up, we also had a tradition of me being a part of a Christmas program at our church, where we got to go and proclaim that word to everyone else. And so I think those two traditions there at the end might get to that meaning a little bit better, and it answers that question, what is Christmas all about? And I think many people kind of still ask that question. Now, they're not going to go up running to you saying, "Hey, what's Christmas all about?" But they're going to tell you in their words, and it's going to be similar to some of the stuff I said. They're going to say, "Oh, we love spending time with family, and we go to celebrate together, and we just love making those cherished memories that will last a lifetime." But then someone else might go, "Well, yeah, that's of course great and good, and we should do that, but you know, Christmas is really about that giving spirit. We should go out and serve in our community and care for those people and give to those who are in need." So you might find someone like that working in a soup kitchen or helping people on the streets, giving them blankets and things on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, or maybe the whole year. And so, but they're still not getting to that point that I was getting to. They're not quite getting what Christmas is all about. And those are all good. We should go out and do those things. We should serve in our communities, and we should join together in celebration with our family. But they're still not quite getting to that entirely, because I think if we boil Christmas down to just a kind of ethical season of going out and caring for each other, we might miss the most important part. And the answer to the question is the Savior of the world. And of course, you know, you're here on Christmas Eve. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. That might be a big surprise. I don't think it should be, though. But, you know, sometimes I think we overlook that simple answer, that Jesus is the reason for the season. And I know it sounds cliche, but it's true. He is the reason for the season. And so Christmas is about the eternal Son of God coming down from heaven and becoming flesh in taking away our sins. And so as we gather with family and share in the giving of presents and making those memories that last a lifetime, or going out and serving our community, Christ is at the center. And we gather in celebration with family as a reminder, and as a celebration similar to that of the shepherds. When they heard that good news of great joy, they went out running to see the Christ child, celebrating the fact that their salvation had finally come. They were going to be delivered from all the things that they had been hoping for. And so we, too, still have that good news of great joy. And that is what Christmas is all about, knowing that the Savior has come and delivered us. It was about that Prince of Peace coming and offering that same peace to us all. And so we cling to his name for all of that. Now, I think there's actually maybe a little bit deeper meaning that we can go to. And I think there's actually a beautiful interpretation that some of us might have overlooked in this text specifically, but also in a popular movie that most of us, I think, have seen. If you're familiar with the Peanuts holiday specials, you might be familiar with A Charlie Brown Christmas. And so in that movie, Charles Schulz implants a tiny little detail that I think is actually pretty interesting. And so what he does, he also inserts the same reading that we just read a few moments ago from Luke chapter 2. Charlie Brown's friend Linus reads that. But there's a little tidbit that some of us might have missed that he purposely left in there. You know, Linus is known for having that little security blanket with them and kind of being a dork with his thumb in his mouth sometimes. And so he clung to that security blanket for comfort and peace and really wanted security in the world. But when he's reciting that passage from Luke that we just read, he drops his blanket when he says those words, "Fear not." And what a small detail, but how profound that can mean and help us interpret this text for our own lives right now, that we can also fear not. And so what Jesus came to do was to take our fears away and cast them aside, especially conquering sin, death, and the power of the devil, so that we might no longer fear them. And that fear has now been crushed by the cross of Christ, that we don't have to worry about them any longer or fear death or fear our own sins and wonder what happens to us, but we can have that news of great joy knowing that we have peace and knowing that our fears have been crushed by Jesus. And the meaning of Christmas, of course, is the first coming of our Lord. We remember his first coming when he was born that Christmas day, not all so many years ago. But there's also, I think, something as we as Christians also cling to, knowing that there's something else coming, that our Lord is coming back. And we eagerly anticipate that day when he returns and he'll judge both the living and the dead. And at first glance, that judgment part might spark some fearfulness, or maybe it makes us uncomfortable, or it might even make us feel as though that God is judgmental. But actually, I think we can take that judgment as a time for us to self-reflect on where we have fallen short. What things have we done that show us that we need a Savior and that it points us to Jesus and back to that Christmas morn, knowing that we need him and also anticipating when he comes back to deliver us from all the things that we have had to deal with this side of eternity. And so that same joyous message still will ring true when Jesus returns. We have no fear about that time he comes back because he's still going to offer us that same deliverance from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And so like those shepherds running out and sharing that message with everybody, we too can run out and share it because that is the joy and the hope we have in knowing that he will come back, that he has offered us salvation and changed our hearts so that we might turn from our sin and turn back to him, knowing that we need Jesus. And I think it might be safe to say that Jesus' return is actually a completion of Christmas in some way, that we will recognize that that hope has finally come to fruition, that he has now come back and that it'll all be done a final time. And so keeping with the Peanuts illustration there, I think of the end of the movie where they all gather around the Christmas tree after Charlie Brown finally found out what Christmas is all about. And so yes, it'll be a judgment, but for the Christian, it's a great celebration in knowing that Jesus has returned and we'll see all those who have gone before us in the faith. We'll see all those who we've never even met in the faith, like those in the Old Testament, Elijah, Moses, and so on. And we could even say we'll get to see Peter, James, and John. And it'll be this great celebration around our Lord, knowing that he has delivered us from all of our sins forever. And joining together just like that first Christmas night, singing with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, glory to God in the highest. That is our Christian hope. Just like that angel and the heavenly host that Christmas Eve, we will also get to sing the same thing. We will gather around our Lord Jesus and sing praises and rejoice that we will live forever in all purity, innocence, and blessedness. That is what Christmas is all about, knowing that our Lord Jesus offered us life in his name. A Merry Christmas to you all, and God bless you all this Christmas Eve. And now we look forward to the children coming up, and we'll sing our next hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.
Can you imagine a perfect world? That's what God created. But it didn't stay that way. People sinned and messed it up.
When I make something perfect and someone messes it up, I get so mad.
But not God. He still loves us. In fact, he made an amazing promise, a promise to make things right, a promise to save us and to give us a very special gift. God promised to send us a Savior, the Messiah. For generations, God's people waited for the Messiah.
The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
How long would you wait for such an amazing gift?
I don't know, maybe 10 minutes.
God's people waited a long, long time, centuries. And then finally, the Messiah came. God chose an ordinary man, or an ordinary woman, Mary, to give birth to his son. Mary and her husband, Joseph, traveled to Bethlehem to take part in a census. Everyone had to register in the town where their ancestors were from and had to be counted.
God promised to send a Savior. Then came a special day for a chosen girl named Mary and for us to shout hooray.
In Bethlehem, there wasn't any room at the inn where Mary and Joseph got there. So they made their bed for the night in a stable.
What, like a barn?
That's right. There were animals and everything.
There was no room in Bethlehem that day. Joseph and Mary had nowhere to stay.
They went to a stable where animals lay. The baby was born in a bed made of hay.
And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Watch the animals play in the heavenly.
God had promised a special person would come, and it happened just like he said.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, this must be one amazing baby. He has all these names: Messiah, Emmanuel, and God wasn't finished yet. He sent some birthday invitations for his newborn son. And I don't mean like through an email or a text. There were shepherds watching the sheep outside of Bethlehem in the dark when suddenly an angel appeared in a bright light.
That sounds terrifying, but the angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news that will be for all the people. For unto you he is born this day in the city of David, that a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
And now the adult choir is going to join us. So these ordinary shepherds got to see baby Jesus on the night he was born. I would have loved to have been there.
Me too, but the angel told them to look for a baby in a manger. I wonder how many stables they went to before they found him. I mean, it's not as if there were balloons marking the birthday party house.
That's true. But God did put a very special star in the sky to show where Jesus was born. Some wise men from the east saw the star when it appeared. They knew it meant a new king had been born, a very special king.
When Jesus was born, God made a star to show where he lay and shine from afar.
Wise men were looking up at the sky.
They knew a new king who came from on high.
Who is this baby who came from on high?
Who is this baby with stars in the sky?
The Bible tells us that the wise men made an incredible journey to celebrate the newborn king. They asked, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him."
When they found Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped him. They even brought special gifts for the baby, expensive gifts, gifts fit for a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Christ, Prince of Peace, Son of God, so many names. Obviously, just one name didn't describe this amazing person that God sent to save us. Christmas is very special, but birthday party doesn't describe what this day means for us. When this baby was born at Christmas, God fulfilled his promise to save us from our sin, the sin that had messed up this world in the first place.
The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
That's right. This baby would grow up to be the one who would die for our sins and make us perfect in God's eyes once more. This baby born at Christmas is
our Messiah,
our Emmanuel,
our Lord,
King of Kings,
our Savior.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
Well, wasn't that lovely? And thank you, kids, for sharing all of that. That you guys can also proclaim the risen and saving Lord that has come and was born that Christmas day. It was well done. Please rise. For to us a child is born,
to us a son is given,
and the government shall be upon his shoulder,
and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Grant that we might cling to him for all hope, knowing that our Christmas celebrations are all in remembrance of that first Christmas day where he put on flesh that he might take away the sins of the world. Allow us to cling to that promise this Christmas season. We pray for the whole church that she may be uplifted and held in strength this Christmas season, this Christmas Eve, and tomorrow Christmas Day. And we pray especially for Zion that your word is proclaimed here even in the midst of this vacancy, that you have found those who can be here to proclaim your word on this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day tomorrow. And allow this transition to be smooth, that they may find the appropriate path moving forward. For all the members of this congregation, O Lord, we give thanks that they all get to celebrate this Christmas, and all those who are visiting, that they might be blessed in this time of worship and filled and nurtured in their faith, knowing that you offer them and grant them abundant mercy. We pray for all those who travel around this season of Christmas, that they might arrive safely to their destination with your providential hand guiding all that they do. And lastly, we pray for this nation that you might grant peace this Christmas year. And we ask especially that you might guide our President Joe and President-elect Donald, leading all in authority to make godly decisions that support and defend your word. Trusting in our Lord and his promises, we boldly pray that prayer that he taught us.
Thank you.
We pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather together on Christmas Eve and the privileges that we can set our minds on the miraculous birth of Jesus, our Savior. As we look forward to the celebrating Christmas with our loved ones, we want to thank you for your great love and sending your only begotten Son into the world. Through Christ, you have given us the greatest gift, and that is life through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Joy to the world, the Son of God, our Savior, has come. May the peace of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all and every day. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn.